Oh, Lord, yes, we invite you into this place to touch your people. Today's going to be a day of deliverance for the people. Whoever wants to receive from the Lord, he's ready and able to give today. He's told me. It's almost like, usually I'm a little nervous. I'm not even nervous. I'm just pumped. I can like jump up and down today. Like, who is this guy? It's like zeal for the house burns within me. You know what I mean? All right. I want to do something today. I don't know where we're going to go. How many of you guys are like, I wish Nate would make notes sometimes? I know Bob doesn't care. Bob's my no-note guy. He always says, I like it better without the notes. I'm like, good, because I don't know where we're going, but we're going somewhere. The Lord is going to deliver people today. He's already told me. So the goal of this service is actually not going to be to necessarily just to teach, but it's going to be to pray. It's going to be to pray. And I'm going to talk about that. We're going to pray for each other. All right? Does that make you nervous? You're lying. There's like five people said no. Everyone else is like, I'm terrified. That's all right. The Lord's still going to meet you. He's still going to meet with you right where you're at. He'll pierce through every little ounce of fear and self-consciousness that you have. And he'll go into the deep, dark places of your heart. And he will do things that only he can do. He will start to heal. He will start to deliver. He loves to minister to the oppressed. He loves to deliver those in bondage. It's his heart. He loves it. He has made it known in his word. That's what he comes to do. Whenever I preached a few weeks back, I preached on when we come together, we have a purpose. And it's definitely not to look like we're doing religious things. You guys remember this? We don't show up to church to do religious-looking things. We show up as a body of believers to bring the power of God with us and to receive from him. And where if he's here, you don't leave unchanged. You can go to a church service and get nothing, but if you see just a glimpse of Jesus, it's game over. Game over for you. You'll never go back. I actually want Jerry to come up for a minute, if he could. I had to goad Jerry to doing this, and with great fear and trembling, he steps forward. Somebody help him out. Help him out. Jerry. And, Jerry has been, man, the Lord, by the way, so we're bringing people up every now and then. The Lord's touching people here. Okay? He's touching people here. And he's doing stuff for them. In my Bible, it says, I'm going to read this. I'm not going to read it. It'll take too long for me to find it. Paul says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's the kingdom. We'll read later, I'm getting to it, if we get there, in Galatians, where he says, Paul says, in the kingdom, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. And he's referring to what I believe is religious activity. He says, those things, religious activity, outward religious activity does not matter. You know what matters? Anybody know the word?
Love.
Love, but man, a lot of good answers. You know what? You know what Paul says? It doesn't matter. You know what matters? A new creation. He says that in Galatians chapter 6 at the end of his letter. He says, oh, who has bewitched you, Galatians, to think that that God wanted you, because the Galatians were turning to the law of Moses to find importance and value and fulfillment. They said, we've got to go work really hard at doing religious-looking, moral-looking things in order to please God. And Paul says, who has bewitched you? You are deceived. In the kingdom, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters, but a new creation. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. He has made me new. He's made JC, Al. I mean, he's hitting people. And I think he's going to hit a lot of people today. So Jerry, I wanted you, he recently told his testimony. in our men's group of how the Lord has set him free and changed him, and I wanted to give him a chance to share.
All right. Is this thing on?
Oh, it's on.
Okay.
Turn him up!
Okay, so a lot of you like don't really know me very well, but I've been coming to the church for about like a year and a half now, and before, like a couple months ago, like I never really took religion like very seriously. Like I didn't like believe anything was like really true. I was just coming because I don't know, it was something to do. But at the same time, I was like really struggling with depression and anxiety. My anxiety was like at an all-time high, and that was like, it's been like that for years. Like I've always struggled with anxiety, but depression was like a really new thing. And just all of a sudden, like I decided to start going into the Word and getting closer with God. And a couple weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, Nate came over and preached and prayed for me. He asked us to raise our hands. I didn't raise my hand because I was scared. And
yeah, it was the Sunday where my dad and I were on chairs. We were talking to each other. And I'll fill in a bubble here just really quick too. My wife, my lovely wife, Ashley, she never does this, by the way. She came to me that day and said, or that week, said, Nate, I think I got a word from the Lord for this Sunday. She never does that. Some people have too many words, by the way. Some people have too few. All right? It's time to grow in sensitivity to the Spirit. But she said, I feel like I've got a word from the Lord. And the word was, and I'm going to misquote it, but he said, this is God. He said, do not let them leave unchanged. There's still chains I would like to break. That was the word of the Lord. And so I'm sitting here like, I don't know what that means for us to do. But you know what I think it means? Maybe we ought to pray for people. We just got to obey. He's the one that does the work. So we just ended the service, and I was like, you know, I think we're supposed to pray for people. And so I said, lift your hand if you need to receive from the Lord. A lot of people lift their hand. I look at Jerry in the back. He's just standing here. And the Lord highlights him on me. And I said, Jerry, I think I need to go pray for you. Anyway, so I do. Even though, listen to me, he was too afraid to volunteer himself. How many of you know that that's you? That's a joke because you won't raise your hand. But listen to me. Listen to me. God cares for you, even though you're afraid. And he can call people to come serve you, even when you're too afraid. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? So this is a testament for Jerry. Too afraid to come to Jesus to receive, I could say. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so he came over, prayed for me, and immediately, just like that, like in the church, I felt an immediate relief off of my shoulders. And
praise God.
Ever since, like, obviously the anxiety and stuff, like, it comes back. It comes back every now and again, but not nearly to the scale it was. But ever since then, like, life's just been good. Like, I've been able to accept the love of the people in this church, which is just amazing, because I was never, like, I was always ready to give out love, but I was never really ready to accept it. And it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, man. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're good. Jerry, for the people. He's a man of the people. That's what I'm saying, though. Are you guys okay? That is what matters. This doesn't matter if that is not happening. Are you guys okay with this? Without the power of God being made manifest to bring about new creation, we're putting on a show and we're playing games. I had a friend in high school who's turned from the Lord. He was one of my best friends. And he openly says the reason why he turned from the Lord is because it felt fake the entire time. It never manifested itself in him. Are you guys okay? So many, you guys are scary. If there is no power, what are we doing? We're dealing with God Most High. I think sometimes we get caught up doing church and we forget that he's powerful to save. Amen. We think theology. Oh yeah, sure, Jesus died for me and I might go to heaven one day if I'm a good enough boy or girl to make it there. And we just get lost and we forget. Yeah, we forget that all he wants is to be with you and for you to be with him. That's the only thing that matters. All right? And I think he's going to come bring deliverance. So we are going to pray for people. There's going to be some who are courageous enough to come forward, and there's going to be some who we're going to go after you. Like Jerry. And we're going to pray for you. Because I'm not putting on a show anymore. Are you guys okay with that? We are going to go after the power of God to bring new birth in you at all costs. At all costs to our pride. How many know I've had to humble myself tremendously to stand here? You've seen it. You've witnessed it. At all costs. And I would say maybe some of you don't see me as I cry in the secret place for you. Because I want you to be free. Once you've tasted it, you're like, oh, Lord, let me give it. Let me give it away. That's all I want to do. So, I had a word from the Lord, I believe, for this day. And we're going to start reading in the book of Exodus, but I was... Let me read first. So we're going to pick up in Exodus. In Exodus, the book of Exodus chapter 1, we have the Israelites. In the end of the book of Genesis, they are brought into Egypt freely because Joseph, you guys know Joseph, he's the guy with the coat of many colors. He's the guy who brought, he was next in line to Pharaoh. Through a crazy story. We're not going to talk about that today. But they end up in Egypt, and God starts to bless the Israelites in Egypt. But here's the problem. When they start getting blessed, the Egyptians start getting nervous. So the Egyptians look at the Israelites, and they see that the Israelites are multiplying like rabbits. They're wealthy. There's many of them, and the Egyptians say, we have to do something about this. And by the way, Pharaoh and the Egyptians in the book of Exodus represent Satan and his team in the grand scale. That's what they represent. There are real people under the influence of satanic influences. That's who they are, okay? And so they say, we have to enslave these people. They're growing too mighty for us. Okay? That's what they say. And so they literally it says, come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and let it happen in the event of war that they join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with burdens for service. Listen to the word of the Lord, I believe, to you today. Listen to this. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. This is the image of Satan trying to deal with you in your life. He's making a mistake. He's taking a risk when he afflicts believers. Are you guys seeing this? He's risking something when he afflicts. Because the more he afflicts you, the more we multiply. And of course, we see this ultimately in Jesus. The devil thought he was going to win by afflicting Jesus. But man, he lost a great battle. The more he afflicts you, the more we multiply. So they're afflicting him, and they see their affliction doesn't work. So then they say, we have to start killing their babies. You guys know this? The story in Egypt? We have to start killing the baby boys. And so Egypt, the Pharaoh tells the midwives, the Israelite midwives, if you see a mother give birth to a son, kill it. If it's a girl, you can let it live. And the midwives feared God. It says, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded, but saved the male children alive. This is what faith looks like. They save the male children alive at the risk to their own life. Are you guys following me? They knew that if they were to do this, it might cost them their lives. But they say they feared God more than Pharaoh, is what they did. And then they actually lied to Pharaoh about it. Some people are like, well, lying's a sin. He's like, we got to stop doing that. Yeah, like, don't lie all the time. But, you know, if you are like in World War II Holocaust scenario and there's Jews hiding in your attic and a Nazi officer comes to your house and says, are there Jews here? It's okay to say no. Haven't seen them. I turned a few in last week. They wouldn't be here. You know, it's like, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. Anyway, this is what I want to know is when the midwives rebelled against Satan by faith, the affliction of the enemy met the faith of the midwives, and when that happens, deliverance is born. This is how it works. When the enemy afflicts you and you meet the affliction with faith, deliverance is born. The way out is revealed. Are you guys following me? And in this case, it was Moses. This is what the Lord loves to do. Is he loves to take what Satan is trying to do and turn it into defeat for Satan. This is what he wants to, and he wants to do it in your life too. So Satan is seeking to afflict, and when the Israelites, as represented by the midwives, choose faith instead of fear, out comes deliverance. And a baby boy was born that would bring deliverance to the people. You guys see what I'm saying? It was the way out was birthed as we meet the enemy with faith. Are you guys following me? I might not be making any sense at all or not, but that's what happens. And so Moses is born. Moses, the great deliverer of the people out of Egypt. He's born, and he's actually taken into Pharaoh's house. And he is living in this palace, and he looks out at the people in bondage. His people, as he grows up and matures. He looks out at his people in bondage, and it starts to tear at his heart. And as we learn, he says, I would rather suffer out there with my people than be up here in the palace in safety. Are you guys with me? This is the life of a believer. This is what we're called to do. We look at the broken and we say, I'd rather be with them, even if it means forsaking something I that's keep giving me good. I'd rather be with them. And so it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Now, what we're not told in Scripture is whether he did something right or wrong. It actually doesn't say. Like, was he supposed to kill people? I don't know. But either way, when I was reading this, it reminded me of a dream I had for this church. And you guys might remember that dream. When, as soon as God starts to send hunger in your hearts for him, the devil will immediately try to drown it out through affliction. Okay? This is just a fact. So as soon as God starts to work in your life and you start to turn to God, he actually gets afraid of you. He's worried about what you might become. And so he starts to afflict you. You have to make it cost him something through faith. He risks it. He's risking himself when he comes out and afflicts that you might not turn in faith. So Moses looks out there and he sees his brethren getting afflicted by Egyptians, getting, you know, whipped. And he says, this shouldn't be so. And so he steps out there and he kills the Egyptian. What it reminded me of was the dream the Lord gave me where I was here at this church. And I felt an enemy coming. It's hard to describe in the dream. You know, dreams are kind of hard to describe. Like, and then a unicorn showed up. It's just like, it's like you don't always know what's going to happen in the dream. But I was dreaming, and there was this evil presence coming to this church, okay? And I look down, and I see that there's a sword at my side. And it's actually, it's barely a sword. It's like a letter opener. Yeah, this little rinky-dink thing. I pray it gets bigger. But right now, it's a little rinky-dink. That's okay. And I see an enemy, the best I can describe it, fighting a member of the church. Now, by the way, there was no faces. Like, it wasn't like a person. It was just like, I knew this guy's with me, this guy's not with me. And I see them battling, and I realize I have to step in and help. I have to step in and help. And so this is Moses. Are you guys seeing this? This is Moses. He is at peace. No one's fighting him. And he sees his people in a battle that they can't win. And something in him stirs and says, I have to help. I have to help this person. And so he steps in, just like I did in my dream. And I give this person relief from the battle. And I'm fighting this enemy. And we're sword fighting with my letter opener. And this is how I knew it was from the Lord. As you guys maybe remember the dream. It didn't end with him defeating me. It ended when I slit his throat. He's got sunglasses on inside. He's ready to slit throats. That is spiritual warfare. Also, what I forgot to say, too, is when I was in the fight, I was getting cut. Yeah. And for your willingness to actually love somebody, that's what it's going to look like. Love brings deliverance, but it will cost something. A love that costs you nothing is fake. It's pretend. You step in and fight, and you'll get cut up. But are you willing to volunteer? Are you guys with me? Like, this is the call of God. And so I'm coming to slit throats today. Not yours. You live. The enemy is dead. This is what I'm saying. When the enemy chooses to battle you, he risks you killing him. Like, do you guys follow me? It's a risk that he's taking when he comes after God's people. We need to unite together to fight. It's foolish for you to think you're going to win on your own. You have to be in a body of believers to be able to fight. So that means you must lay down your pride, humble yourself, and join with people. Otherwise, you will be alone and you will never find victory. There are sometimes when the Lord will come and bring you deliverance, and he will do it out of his own great power and might. Other times it's going to be through people, like with me and Jerry. Sometimes deliverance comes through the hand of a believer. Actually, that's most of the time what happens. Most of the time, the answer that you need will come from another believer. This is why humility is the way forward. Because we don't like to receive things from people. We're like, God, anytime you want to show up and do something for me, I'm available. And he's like, I've sent you person after person after person to try to help you. And you won't humble yourself to receive. It's as Jerry said, like, we love to give love. But we don't like to receive it. But what you don't know is love is what actually cuts the throat of the enemy. He has no power over love. He has no power over love. He has power over you when you're selfish. But when you love, he loses his authority over your life. And he can try to attack if he wants. It doesn't even bother you. Are you guys following me? It's love that will set you free. And it's love that you use to set other people free. Okay? Praise God. Who here is pumped? Yeah. Somebody! So the Lord calls Moses. By the way, that story doesn't end well for Moses. Doesn't really end well for him. He then goes back out and sees Israelites fighting each other. This is the message I'm preaching. He sees Christians fighting each other. And he tells them, maybe you should stop. And they say, who made you a judge over us? Are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptians? And his own people turned on him. He was sent to deliver him, but because of their pride, he had to flee. They were the ones who made it known to Pharaoh. Are you guys following me? That of what Moses did. This is the problem with Christians. We're mean to each other. One time I asked a question like, who here has been hurt by the church sometime in your past? And like everybody raises their hand. And it's what Moses is saying too. It's like, don't you guys know that if you would unite together in love, the Egyptians would have no power over you? This is the way it works in the... Are you guys with me? Talk to me, somebody. Yeah. All right. This is it. So he goes out and he sees his own people fighting. He's like, if you guys would choose love instead, you would be free as you live right now. You guys following that? Yeah. You'd be free right now in love. But instead there was bickering, fighting, and it cost the Israelites their deliverance for a period of time. It cost them. Their own refusal to come together. It cost them their freedom. And so for 40 years, Moses is in exile. He had to flee. He's in exile. And he's out shepherding his flock. Actually, his father-in-law's flock. And this is the famous burning bush scene. And by the way, it's Jesus in the burning bush, by the way. It's Christ in the burning bush, the angel of the Lord. You know, what's interesting is the figure, it's not just the bush talking to him. I think sometimes we think that it was the bush talking to him. No, it was the angel of the Lord in the bush. And the angel of the Lord receives worship. No angel receives worship but the Lord. So there's one angel in the Old Testament, it's the angel of the Lord who appears a few times, who receives worship. And that is the Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. It is Jesus, the Son of God, before he came in the flesh. Are you guys with me? That's who Moses met in the bush. Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to him, and the angel of the Lord says to him, I have seen, take this for yourself, by the way, take this for yourself. I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. I have come down to deliver them. Out of the hand of the enemy. And I want to bring them to a good land. How many of you need a good land? Praise God. Therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. I want you to know, I have seen the oppression which the Egyptians have oppressed you. I have talked to many of you. And you're not living in the promised land right now, I'll tell you that. Are you guys with me? And I know it. And so does God. He is not blind to not see what's going on. Come now, therefore, Moses, and I will send you to Pharaoh to deliver my people from their bondage. Are you guys following me? God could do it himself, I guess, right? But he says, I'm sending you, Moses. Sometimes your deliverance comes from somebody sent by God. Are you willing to receive? Are you willing to receive it? He wants to do something in your life. Are you willing to receive it? Sometimes it's not just this, like, as my dad says, like eating bonbons on your couch watching Netflix. Lord, anytime you want to set me free, you just do it. It's like, maybe. It's like, or maybe he wants you to plug into a group of believers. Maybe that. Try that one on for size and see if maybe that's what the Lord asks you to do. Because people filled with the Spirit bring power with them. People filled with the Spirit bring power. You don't need word as much as you need power. Hang in there with that. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring the people, the children of Israel, out of their bondage. And then this is a famous story, you know, that they stand there at the bush and Moses argues with God for a long time. He's like, no way. I ain't going back. He has five times that he says no. I'm not going to go. 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 And the Lord just doesn't let him not go. You are going to 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 go. And so Moses is like, all right, I'll go. Begrudgingly goes. And at the very end, at the very end of all that, Moses says, okay, I'm going to Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, listen to this. This is not good news for you, but it kind of is. So stay with me. He says to Moses, the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. So Moses is coming in the power of the Spirit to manifest actual power that's going to set them free. This is the unfortunate piece. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Couldn't you soften the heart? Couldn't you soften it, Lord? Wouldn't that be easier? I'm going somewhere with this, people. But I find this to be very interesting. That he says, Moses, I want you to go deliver the people. I have this great plan for them. When you go, I want you to show them the wonders. But I'm going to actually harden Pharaoh's heart, and he won't let you go. And I think Moses should have been like, well, maybe a different strategy. Let's soften his heart. And so essentially, this is the idea of what we want God to do. Listen, I'm going somewhere with this, I think. Lord, come. He sends people and he sends his word, hoping that you would believe and walk with him in newness of life. But he also wants the world to know that it is him that's doing it. He is the great deliverer, not Moses and not Pharaoh. Pharaoh gets no credit for what is about to happen. Are you guys with me? Pharaoh gets no credit for this. He did not let the people go freely. The Lord saved them. So God says to Moses, I'm going to harden his heart so that the world will know that I have done this. Unfortunately for the people of Israel, this means pain. Are you guys with me? If Moses came to Pharaoh, which he's about to do, and shows him his little magic tricks, you know, throws the rod down, it becomes a snake. You guys may know that story. He puts his hand inside of his shirt and he pulls it out and it turns into leprosy. He puts it back in and it's healed. He's saying, I'm coming in the power of God. Let my people go. If Pharaoh said, that sounds like a good PR move, actually. Are you guys with me? Sounds like a good PR move. Maybe I will let him go. Pharaoh would get the glory. Are you guys seeing this? Pharaoh, they would think that Pharaoh set them free. Some of you need to hear this for your very selves right now. The Lord is delaying the deliverance, or the Lord is preparing for a greater deliverance. Are you guys with me on this? The Lord is preparing for a greater work that the world cannot deny that the Lord has been amongst us. Okay? We want it always to be, why did Nate pray for Jerry and he gets free? He didn't pray for me and nothing happened. Why did I never get the Jerry treatment? I don't even like Jerry. That Jerry guy. Listen. When oppression from the enemy meets the faith of the believers, deliverance is born. Every time. Every time. Without fail. Sometimes there are things happening in your life that the Lord understands that you don't. And you humble yourself. That never, ever, ever gives you the right to stop fighting. We fight the fight of faith. We actually go from faith to faith. I've talked to a lot of people who, they're like, I was talking to the men's group last night, and I was like, you know, if somebody came in those doors with a gun and just lined us up on the wall and says, renounce your faith or die, I can't answer for you. But most of the men, if not all the men, would say, sure. We're not gonna do it. Kill me. But what's interesting is that we would rather die. It's easier to do that than sometimes it is to just walk by faith. Do you guys agree with that? Faith can be difficult because it requires surrender. It requires surrender. And so we wish that someday the Lord would make things easy so that it wouldn't require faith. But you guys forget, that's what the Lord's always wanted, is faith. So he doesn't want you. So we have this human tendency to try to build a life of safety apart from faith. Are you guys with me? We want a life that we are in control of the various things that happen to us. And the Lord will himself sometimes show up and start smacking you around a bit. Why? Because he says, your safety is fake without me. I am your safety. I am your walls. I am your peace. I am your purpose. If you seek it anywhere else, it will fail. Unfortunately, to be in me, it means faith, which means you give up your right to be in charge. Are you guys with me? Man. So, Moses goes to Pharaoh. This is what I feel like I've been doing a little bit. Is I've come and I've been preaching, and some people are getting touched, and some people are getting touched, and I feel like everyone that I'm talking to, it's like, some people are like, I'm so hungry for God right now. I'm so excited for what God's doing, but it feels like my life is getting worse. Amen. Are you guys with me? I'm hungry for God, and I love the Lord more than I've ever loved the Lord, and I'm as hungry for him as I've ever been. I think I can say this for most of you. But for whatever reason, it seems like my life's actually getting worse. Read with me. Where? It's unfortunately in the Word. And so Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and they say, look, let my people go. And Pharaoh hardens his heart. Says, no. Not only am I not going to let them go, I'm going to make their lives more miserable. Come on, God, that's not a good plan. Soften the heart of Pharaoh. But he says, no, you don't understand. I'm preparing for a great deliverance. Are you guys with me? I'm preparing for a great deliverance, for my name to be made known into the world. So, Pharaoh makes their life more difficult, and the people of Israel come to Moses and Aaron and said, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants to put a sword in their hand to kill us. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. To be honest, I have felt this way a little bit. Lord, you told me to go preach to these people. You told me to come bring deliverance to them. And it feels like the enemy's attacking them more than ever before. And I was talking to a buddy of mine over coffee. And it was the same thing. He's been here a few times, and he watches online a lot. And he's been hungry for God. He's been hitting this, but it's like life just keeps getting worse and worse. And I'm like, and I felt the word of the Lord say, I'm just setting them up for a greater deliverance. That's what I do. Are you guys with me? Are we okay? It's good news and bad news. Lord's coming. Get ready for the enemy to not enjoy it. Like, what did you think he was going to do when you start turning to God and you start hungering for God? What did you think was going to happen? Sometimes it's like, even Jesus talks about it. He's like, sometimes the word goes forth and it lands on hard ground and the devil comes in and eats up the word. And it doesn't take root in you. He's like, that's what the devil likes to do. And he always has and he always will. He wants to try to destroy your life. This is the key. The devil wants to afflict you, hoping that you surrender to him. At some point in your life, you have to make a declaration, I will never surrender. I surrender to God alone. And I surrender to his word. And come hell or high water, I will not bow to Pharaoh. I will not do it. And it is the life of faith. And you will see victory after victory after victory. But in order for there to be victory, there has to be a what? A battle. Are you guys with me? We're cutting throats today. And it said, so Moses spoke to the children of Israel about the reply of God, saying, I'm coming to deliver them. Don't worry about it. I've heard the groanings. I've remembered my covenant. I'm coming. Don't you worry. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from the burdens of the Egypt. So Moses spoke this to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Because this is just, is this not life? Can you not resonate with this? Why do we not love reading the word? It's so true. So often we don't heed what the Lord's doing because we're under so much pressure. We're under so much oppression. How much pressure? Finally, in Exodus 7, We start to see God say what we've been trying to say. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you. This is the word of God. So that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Are you guys? I keep on saying, are you with me? But I'm like, yeah, this is it, people. He wants to use you as bait. He wants to use you as bait. Problem with bait is he's got a hook in it. You know, ow. It's like you're in the lake and there's fish swimming everywhere. You're like, this better work. It's like, that is the life of faith. He uses us as bait to trap the enemy in his own schemes. This is the word of God. We often avoid it because they were a little afraid. That's okay. We're still coming for you. How are we doing today? Good, good, good. This is a good message. We continue on in Exodus. And we get to whenever the Lord's actually going to deliver his people. And that's in Exodus 12 and 13. And listen to me really quick. I've got some points to make. I haven't even made a single point yet. This message is pointless. Oftentimes, the Lord brings deliverance by sending his word. He speaks to you to set you free. It is your faith that makes you willing to obey it. Are you guys following me with that? So what he does is he does 10 plagues. The Lord does 10 plagues on Egypt. The first nine, there was a battle going on between God and Pharaoh, and the Israelites were just the bait. They did nothing. The 10th one, the one that was going to bring the final deliverance, they had to partake with it. They had to hear the word of God. And they had to do it. And that was their way out. And that is what we know as Passover. The Lord sent his word. Says, I am going to set you free tonight. Only those who obey my voice will be delivered. Everyone who rejects my voice will die. And so that's, of course, where we find out that the angel of the Lord was. So look at what he does. This is how he uses you as bait to do to Egypt what Egypt was doing to you. Egypt was killing the firstborn babies of the Israelites. How did they get set free? He killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. Says, you're going to touch my people like this, Egypt? I'm going to come after yours. This is spiritual warfare, not just physical. Remember, our fight's not against people. Some of you are like, I wish my fight was against my boss. It's not him or her. Your fight is in the heavenly realm. Your fight's in the heavenly realm. You walk by faith. But what I'm trying to say is he flips it around. He takes the schemes of the devil. He draws out Moses, who was supposed to be killed, and sends him back and kills the firstborn of Egypt. And the Israelites go free. But they had to obey this time. The other nine, they didn't have to do anything. They were eating bonbons on the couch. Or I guess I should say they were getting whipped and making bricks. So it wasn't that good. But The Lord still set them free. Are you guys? Are we okay? I don't want to bore you.
Yeah.
Good. And so the Lord uses them as bait to bring about deliverance. Sometimes I think that's what he's doing in our lives. I can only tell you what happened to me, which was when he delivered me, he flipped the schemes of the enemy against the enemy and set me free. But I had to obey his voice. I had to listen to him. He led me out by his voice. So what I'm going to do, and there's JC. JC, you can come play. And we're going to pray for people today. And how about, everyone's so quiet. Jumping jacks, maybe? There's somebody here who needs to be set free. Are you guys okay with that? Somebody here, I don't know who it's going to be. It might as well just be you, who needs a touch from God to set them free. You are so filled with anxiety, depression, loneliness, fear, shame, guilt, condemnation. They bind you and they restrict God in your life. And you just can't seem to get a breath of fresh air. And I believe the Lord wants to set you free. Praise God. And I'm willing to fight for you. And there's many else others here who are going to pray for you. And I believe that the God is going to manifest himself today in a powerful way. And I think it's going to come in two ways. Either when I lay my hands on you, it will lift, or you will go home and the Lord will start speaking to you and you have to obey. Okay? These are the two things that are going to happen. He's either going to start speaking and lead you out by his voice, or he can set you free right now. One of the two is going to happen. Are you guys okay? One more thing to know. In Exodus chapter 19, Jesse and I have talked about this. You know what's so interesting about this whole storyline of God working in the Israelites' life? The Israelites all thought that God's primary intention was to get them to the promised land. Do you know what God's primary intention was? To bring them to the mountain. God wanted to meet with his people. So all the Israelites are like, yay, Moses, yay, let's go to the promised land. And Moses is like, no, 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 we have to make a pit stop at the mountain. Because it's in the wilderness that you learn faith. And it's through faith that you build intimacy with God. And all he's ever wanted was intimacy with you. And like Moses, I think sometimes what he's waiting for us to say is, Lord, I would rather stay here in the wilderness with you than be brought into the promised land without you. I actually just want you, Lord. He sets you free to love him. Do you see this? It's a marriage proposal. He sets you free. It's one of the most beautiful images in scripture is the book of Hosea. Hosea the prophet. He writes this book where the Lord is depicted as the prophet Hosea, and Hosea goes, and the Lord commands Hosea to go find a prostitute and rescue her from her bondage and marry her and call her his wife. And it's an image of the Lord bringing his people out of Egypt to himself to marry them. He sets you free to love him and to love people. The problem with your oppression, the problem with all this weight of life that afflicts you, is it robs you of getting to know God and getting to know people. Can you guys say an amen to that? The oppression in your life is robbing you of your ability to get to know God and to get to know people. Because of self-consciousness, anxiety, depression, hopelessness, fear, guilt, shame. Do you know how hard it was whenever I was stuck in pornography to stand up and preach anything? Are you guys aware with that? With the voice of condemnation constantly speaking to me? Are you guys there? Am I alone? I mean, it's what I'm saying is it's robbing people around you of life. It robs you and them of life. So he wants to set you free, not for you, but for the whole body to come alive. The body of Christ, the body of the church. He wants everybody to come alive. And he can't use you if you are content in Egypt. He has to set you free, bring you to the mountain of God, find intimacy with him, receive from him, and then go forth and bring blessing to the world. Which, of course, the Israelites failed to do. And so they were carried back to bondage again. You're actually freed to love. He says in Exodus 19, the Lord says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians." This is after they've been made free and brought to the wilderness. He says, "You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Brought you to myself. I brought you to myself. Don't get wrong. I didn't send you to the promised land. I brought you to me. I want to get to know you, says Jesus Christ right now. I want to get to know you. I want to know you more, says the Lord to you. Do you want to get to know him? He's ready and willing. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, you shall be a special treasure to me." He leads you by his voice. He leads you by his word. The word of God, scripture, but also the still small voice of the Spirit talking to you. He leads you by his voice. You only hear his voice when you're in an intimate place with him, whenever you desire and hunger for him. Like Jerry said, he's anxious and afraid, and for the first time in his life, he starts getting into the word of God. And when oppression meets faith, deliverance is birthed. Are you guys with me? The way out, freedom in him, transformation of life. He says, "You shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Kingdom of priests means now that you have seen me, you go represent me to the world. That's what it means. I know I go long, don't I? Praise God. Come on, somebody. The Lord's going to do something today. I got one more thing to read, I think. We go to, remember, he sets you free. He delivers you so that you can love. Can we agree with this? He sets you free so you can love. Your oppression, the biggest issue, is that it actually robs us of loving God. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." He didn't set you free so you can live in bondage again. He says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." The circumcision, uncircumcision, I know that might sound weird, and it is, but all he's trying to say is, you who want to do religious activity thinking that's what God wants, says that's actually not what I'm after. I'm after one thing. There's only one thing that matters in the new covenant, and it's faith working through love. Faith is what sets you free, and love is what allows you to remain in the land. Faith working through love. Faith must be perfected by love. In fact, he says, "For you, brethren," and this is where I'll end, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." What? I thought I was free for me. I thought I was free for me. I thought the Lord met me to free me from my anxiety so I can live a better life. He's like, yeah, he loves for you to live a good life. But he actually sets you free to love. He sets you free to love. He says, don't use your new freedom as an opportunity to gratify the desires of the flesh. Use it to love. Are you guys okay? I had other things that I could have said, but I didn't write them down. All right. head bowed and eyes closed.